Hey guys, before we go into the episode, we have something to discuss with you guys. Basically, things are pretty hectic, and in order for us to continue producing content regularly, I asked Pete that we scale back to once every other week instead of weekly, because I was struggling to do weekly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to feel like I'm supporting you.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't know you had a better way of wording that. We are going to make this a bi-weekly, not the two times a week bi-weekly, the other bi-weekly, the every other week.
No, you know what? We should try two times.
No, I will kill myself. Yeah, we're going to change to a bi-weekly podcast.
Like, you guys know, and as I said to Marissa, there are times when we, the day of, go, oops, I need a topic. Yeah. And we know we're not tricking you guys.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that this could help, help keep me, at least. I don't speak for Pete, but like, cause Pete is generally on the ball better, but help me keep a little more organized. Keep me from assing things.
And keep her from having episodes like Archie and Donkey Kong.
Shut up. Those are the beginning anyway. And keep me from, being overwhelmed. Cause yeah, not like this podcast was all consuming, but, we also wanted to say that a lot of you, a lot to me, maybe not compared to other podcasts, but a lot of you pay us on Patreon. And we realize we're going to be producing less content. We're still kind of just figuring out what we want to do with that. But I just want to say that if you give us a lot of money, we fully support you reducing that amount. Mm-hmm. Since we'll be getting less content.
You'll still be getting stuff on Patreon. It's just that most of the people who give... We're giving us money before we actually put stuff on Patreon. So if you are giving us like a dollar a month, you can't go any lower. But if you're giving us more than that, which Marissa's saying is a lot.
Yes, if you give us $5 a month, you can cut that to two. If you give us $2 a month, you can cut that to one. And if you give us one because you count on our weekly content and you're disturbed, you can stop supporting us.
Yeah.
And we won't fault you.
No more Gossip Girl for you.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, basically, if you are still a Patreon, we will still have Patreon content. But we'll just only be having every other week joint episodes. You know, guys, this doesn't pay our bills, so we unfortunately cannot make this.
Yeah, so if you wanted to be weekly again, you have to donate more money to the Patreon.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to DM us and say you want to give us at least $50 a month. And then we'll go back to weekly. Anyway, okay, shall we just go into the show now?
Sure.
Y'all Heard?
Hey, everybody. This is Y'all Heard.
A podcast where me, Marissa Phillips.
And me, Pete Phillips.
And we're not related.
And this is a show for curious people who want to hear about a variety of topics out there in the world. From...
food!
To fetishes.
Celebrities.
To unsung heroes. From things you think you know to...
things you didn't know you needed to know.
Marissa, you've been very busy lately.
Yeah.
Can you give us like a rated G version of your move?
Oh, God.
Because I didn't get to hear all the details yet.
You're okay. I'm trying to talk about it less because my... God, my husband didn't want to move, but no, he like did a little bit.
I was going to say, didn't he find the place?
Yes. Yeah, he found the place because he thought it would make me happy. But in his heart of hearts, I know he didn't want to move. But he swears to me I didn't make us move. But I know in his heart he didn't want to move. So I'm trying to stop talking about
it. Now, did he not want to move because he was happy in the other place?
He loved the other place.
Oh, Marissa, why did you do that?
The other place too, but well, two things. He loved the other place, but I was like on an island and I couldn't go anywhere really.
Yeah.
And it was starting to hurt my mental health, and I tried to not make it a thing that affected him, but I was just in an island. I didn't know how to talk to people anymore. So I don't think I'd be okay if I lived there one more year.
That's also, not a you thing.
Also, he's on call more. So we concluded that we had to move regardless. But he hadn't come to terms with that yet. Anyway, long story short, we moved from a beautifully clean 3-floor apartment to a house with a yard, that was a selling point, in downtown Hershey, incredibly walkable, another selling point. Owned by someone that we have some sort of, that my husband has some sort of relationship with. So not a great situation. We got this house. It was old and we have to share a bathroom again and it had smaller rooms, but like whatever, like, anyway, it had a leak from some heating thing. Fine, whatever. We did need to like check it to make sure there wasn't flooding in our basement every few hours. Whatever. Even that's, I don't know, even that's tolerable. A couple, the second day after we move here, I go to make a smoothie and I realize everything in the freezer is soft. Our fridge and our freezer.
It's already been smoothied.
Yeah, it's already been smoothied. They do buy us a new fridge. I think it came either the next day or within 2 days. So, like, great. Nobody bothered to measure it, so it didn't fit in the spot in our kitchen, so we just had to have a fridge in the middle of our whole kitchen. This is not the worst stuff. This is all just, like, little icing on the cake. The worst thing is every time we take a bath, the toilet would start gurgling. And the one time I took a bath, and it wouldn't go down for like an hour. And then the toilet was gurgling. And we told the guy.
This is interesting because I learned a lot about plumbing over my summer vacation.
Oh, yeah. So the guy showed up just with some Drano and tried to like imply maybe like someone flushed a toilet a piece.
Now, when you say the guy, you mean the homeowner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're
okay.
Like, we've been living here for 3 days. You cannot pretend we clogged this. And like they started.
You are so dirty that you clogged the drain of the bathtub.
So he ran the sink, the bathtub, and the toilet at the same time, and dirt started going into the bathtub. And they called an emergency plumber, who I think couldn't come for a few days. So he was like, "Oh, you could just use the downstairs bathroom, right?" But then eventually that bathroom didn't work either. For a time, we had no bathrooms. I don't even remember what happened. This is all a blur. So then the plumbers came, and it turns out we have a kind of pipe that nobody uses anymore.
Okay.
And there's roots growing in all our pipes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Is it cast iron? Yeah.
No, it's something called, like, Orangeburg.
Sounds like a type of tree.
Someone described the pipes as like a paper towel holder. Like that's the equivalent of what they are. Anyway.
And that is not a metaphor, or like that is not to symbolize what a pipe is. That's to symbolize the type of pipe that you have.
Yeah. So the plumbers basically said like you either need to have us like insert better pipes within the pipes or completely rip up your entire yard and replace all of your pipes.
Yeah.
So we're expecting that to happen. The plumbers came a few days later and they're like, okay, you can use your bathrooms again. And you could tell that the landlords were just like, work, it works.
Yep.
They were just going to be vague. But so I went outside to listen to the plumber and the plumber was like, yeah, this is going to happen again. So if this happens one more time, you have to replace them. So I'm like, oh, they didn't replace them. So the landlord's like, it works. And I was like, did you replace the plumbing? And they were like, no, but it worked. And I was like, so it's going to happen again, right? And they're like, yeah, 2, 3, 5 years. And I was like, yeah, okay. So we're waiting for this to happen again. Also, we have a lot of bugs, not roach bugs, not like the kind of bugs that you could like be like you need to exterminate immediately. Mm. The kind of bugs that we're still gauging whether or not we can demand an exterminator. Like something called pill bugs, some centipedes.
Oh.
Like fucked up shit. That's like, I don't feel okay. I'm emotionally not okay. But thank God we went on a cruise for a week a few days later. Now, so
I think both of those are, they're from like the same family.
What do you mean? Like a pill bug grows into a centipede?
No, but they're like under the same. Like, they would both be, like, a mountain lion and a house cat are both felines or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, what I said was really stupid, I realized after I said it. Can I just say, I think it's because, like, this is a damp home. The home.
That's what
damp.
I was going to say.
God bless my husband. So,
I mean, it should be a damp home because all of your sewage is going through the paper towel roll.
I know. So God bless my husband. So I had put some sorry, I'm going to cut this short. I know I'm going on. I put some Home Depot bug spray, which I've lived in roach infested places before, and the Home Depot bug spray has kept that at bay. And I've still seen
lies. Sponsor us, Home Depot.
Oh, yeah. So I put the Home Depot bug spray, and I had only seen pill bugs and spiders at this point. After the Home Depot bug spray, I saw dead centipedes. And then I saw a live centipede. So I was like freaking out because I can't handle that. And my husband realized a window was cracked open. And he's like, oh, I closed the window. That was probably it. I was like, I don't think that's how that works. I was like, how many times he's come through the window? So after our vacation, we have only seen pill bugs. And he is convinced that he fixed it because he closed the window. And I'm like,
let him have it.
Oh, God. I just can't. But, so this house is horrible. And I'm saying this on air because I try not to say that in the real life anymore because this move costs a lot of money, so I try not to make us both feel a bit worse.
But you'll know what to look for if you ever buy a house.
If you ever buy a house or rent a house, run the toilet, the bathtub, and the sink together simultaneously, and if anything starts gurgling, you're fucked. Mm-hmm. 100%, I will do that from now on. So, yep, that's it. So how do you know about plumbing?
My mom basically had the problem that you're describing that house has.
Orangeburg plumbing?
No, but something was clogging a pipe. And they were like, well, if we can't get it out, then we're going to have to just take up all your pipes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of one of those things where, you know how if you go to a store and you're looking for something specific, like you mentioned Home Depot, you could go into Home Depot and you could ask somebody, hey, where do they keep like the, three-quarter inch screws? Mm-hmm. And one person will be like, down there somewhere. But another person will be like, it's in aisle 18, it's in bay 4, and then I think it's like the third shelf, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know
what?
Instead, let me walk you there.
Yeah.
We kept getting the first person who would come out to the house.
Oh, no.
But eventually we got the second person that I described, and that guy fed a camera through, saw what the problem was, and then he used what he could to pull this thing that was obstructing the pipe, which was a gasket that somehow fell in the pipe when they were installing mom's new shower. And to be gross about it, It wasn't blocking liquid.
It was blocking duty?
Yeah. So so we ended up getting that out, and ultimately I think we spent $3,000 on just getting, like, the first $2,000 were just getting a plumber to come out and be like, well, I fixed it. And then he didn't fix it. And then we called them back, and he was like, well, that's another $1,000. I think I fixed it.
Oh, wow.
So I go to the guy, you saying you're just going to charge us $1,000 a month to come out and allegedly clear this pipe, which is still clogged?
You said that?
Yeah, and he's like, well, I hope not.
They should have, like, some sort of thing where, like, if it's not fixed.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
So then we had a guy come out with a camera, and he was fun to hang out with. He like hung out for like probably 3 hours.
Okay.
Telling me all sorts of things about plumbing. And then another family friend came, and he was like, if they have to rip it up, I can do it for you cheaper. And we were like, okay. Cool. And then, of course, the last person who came out managed to fix it. So
good.
But what Marissa's describing is, what they do is they put a sleeve. They feed a sleeve through your sewer pipe, and then that's on one end. And then on the other end, they like pull it all the way through, and basically it creates a liner for the pipe that you already have in place.
Yeah. I never want to hear about plumbing for the rest of my life.
I don't blame you. Another interesting thing that I did is I dug up cinder blocks that are attached to our house just for decorative purposes, I dug them up and I found out that they had been there since the 1940s.
Ooh, that's cool. How do you know that?
Because I was like, man, Dad really did a number on this one. And my mom was like, those came with the house.
Oh. Oh, the one thing I wanted to say that I won't go into detail, I'll go into detail in another time, because maybe I'll find a way to do a topic about this, a show about this. But I went on a cruise, whatever. I'm obsessed with the sea. I'm not obsessed with cruises. I'm not obsessed with boats. I'm obsessed with how afraid of the sea I am.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a balcony, which, by the way, is like the most lavish thing of my life. Last time I went on a cruise, I had bunk beds with my family and no window. And all I said was, can we please have a window? And we got a balcony. And holy shit, when it's dark outside and you just look into the sea and it's nighttime, terrifying. It felt like that exhibit that scares me at the Museum of Natural History times fucking 100. So yeah, cruises are wonderful because they make me scared. And I love it. It gives me a rush of fear. So, yep. I just wanted to tell you that I'm...
How's your new therapist?
I don't have one. I don't have one. Anyway.
Anyway, listener, you have been waiting with bated breath to find out the results of my sleep apnea study. And I got to tell you, the doctor called and said... You have to come in. And I'm like, she's not going to make me come in and tell me I don't have sleep apnea. So she's like, you have moderate sleep apnea.
Okay.
And she goes, and what we would normally do for this is get a CPAP machine. And I was like, I'm not going to use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was like, okay. And she did lean into what Aaron was talking about. She's like, there are other types of devices that might be able to help. And I was like, I didn't have sleep apnea before, and then I got fatter, so I'm just going to try to lose some weight. And she was like, okay. And I said, and another thing, which I basically did say at the time.
Wow, love you.
I was like, that night that I was taking the sleep apnea test was one of the most peaceful nights of sleep I've had in a long time.
That's weird.
So I think your test is bullshit.
Did you say that?
She was like, it says that you woke up, I don't know how they quantify it, but it was like, it says that we're short of oxygen 130 times in the night. And I was like, I don't believe it. Or I was sleeping so well because I was almost dead. I got myself a smartwatch so that I can prove to these bitches that I sleep fine.
Okay. So what is the outcome? That you're going to try and prove that you don't have sleep apnea, or that you're going to try and lose weight? I don't understand which of those.
Yeah, no, I was like, I guess I should lose weight. When my sister got her surgery and she lost a bunch of weight, she didn't need to use her machine anymore. So I was like, okay, maybe that's what's going on.
Okay, that seems like a better plan than just trying to prove that it's not right.
Oh, no, but I could do two at once.
Okay. Okay. Pete told me that I also said I would share my pap smear results, which I don't recall saying, but I'm glad he holds me accountable.
I just made it up.
I'm fine. The way the results were written made it sound like I had... I'm going to say this the least medical way. Made it sound like I had a lot of HPV. I don't know. It was like risk factor high HPV or something. But apparently it was a test for HPV that said I don't have a high risk factor. But I was like, Aaron, I have a high HPV. He was like, you don't. What are you saying? You're not. That's not a thing. So, yeah, guys, I'm fine.
You either have it or you don't.
Yeah, I don't know. Every time I read tests, I sound like an idiot. So, yep. Anyway. So there you go, guys.
That's a little bit to catch you up on us.
Icebreaker.
You ready for an icebreaker?
Oh, yeah. I forgot we have icebreakers.
I've been sitting on this icebreaker for so long. I'm so happy that we're podcasting again because I can ask you this. Okay. Pretend you're friends with Frankie Muniz.
Okay.
And he comes to you and he goes, I'm older now, but they still call me Frankie. I want to be taken seriously. How can I do that? Like, what name can I use instead of Frankie but that's still my name, and be taken more seriously.
This is a really weird icebreaker. I either say get over it, or you change it to Francesco or Francisco. Because if you change it to Frank, everyone is going to ignore it. You have to change it to something. I mean, or you have to completely change your name to, like, Edward. But if you don't want to completely change your name, you have to change it to something extra and much and longer.
Okay, I'm going to tell you that Frankie Muniz's full given name is Francisco James Muniz IV.
Okay. So, yeah, he has to go by Francisco.
And you think that's gonna, you think people are going to take him more seriously?
I don't know anyone. Oh, I'm sorry. I lost track. I just thought the focus was how to get people not call him Frankie. No one's going to take him seriously, period.
Because you're Frankie fucking Muniz.
Like, I mean,
because you're Malcolm in the Middle and you used to race cars.
Malcolm in the Middle and some Disney movie, I feel like, always sticks in my mind, too. You need to accept. Nobody takes me seriously. I don't fucking decide to change my name. I think that's going to help.
But it's not because of your name.
No, but just I've come to terms that no one will take me seriously. Okay. The end. I'll get over it.
What about Frunk?
No. No.
I think Franklin would be good. Franklin Muniz IV. It's not his name.
He makes me think of a turtle. Is there a turtle named Franklin?
Yeah, a very famous turtle named Franklin.
Famous for what?
Being a PBS show, I think.
Oh, okay. Franklin.
Did you know that one variation on the name Frank is... Now, I'm going to say it the way that it's spelled, okay?
Okay.
Pancho.
What?
P-A-N-C-H-O.
I mean, I'd say Pancho, but...
Right, yeah. And then I thought, too, there's...
Oh, that's a nickname for Francisco.
Yeah, which is his name.
Oh, you're right. Why, though?
Don't know.
Weird. Huh, okay. Why doesn't he go by that, then?
I feel like Pancho. If he went by Pancho Muniz, or Pancho Muniz... I think people might expect him to look a little more ethnic. Since he doesn't, I think people would hate him even more. Because, again, he was Malcolm in the Middle. He grew up to be a little shit. And then he raced cars. And now he's trying to be in movies again.
I'm sorry. He actually raced cars? Or this is a movie? I have no recollection of this. Okay. Yeah, he just needs to give it up. Or he needs to be in, like... some really fucked up indie movies.
Yeah.
Like, really fucked up. Interesting icebreaker. I like it.
Hey.
Do you have a segue? Otherwise, I'll go to mine first. My dumb topic.
Go to it.
My topic is stupid. I said I went...
Listeners, you get to determine.
If it's stupid?
Call us. Tell us which one's stupider today.
I mean, mine is not that much stupid. It's just like, why did you do this?
It still stands.
Okay. I came back from a cruise, and when I was there, I just was reminded of how much people love hot tubs. Like, every day.
I thought she was going to say hot dogs.
Oh, no. God, I love hot dogs. Oh, man, I love hot dogs. Every day at all times, there were these two hot tubs that were always in use, and it was pretty hot, and the sun was bearing down, and I was like, why are people in the fucking hot tub? Like, how is that comfortable? I don't get it because if it's hot, I wouldn't want to sit in hot water. I also don't get it because I don't know if it's society, the media, 80s movies, I don't know, but I am conditioned to see hot tubs as weird sexual soaking tubs.
That's where you would get HPV.
Where you only go in to have sex times. So when I see like multiple people in a hot tub, I just think, what are you doing?
No, I'm sorry. I can't come in because I can't have an orgy with you.
Yeah. And I don't. don't even know why, but I always think of hot tubs. Hot tubs as being like gross and like dangerous in some way, but I don't know why.
Well, it's a hot, wet thing. Yeah, it's like it's like the place where bacteria wants to be.
Yeah, exactly. It also doesn't help that like.
I bet you your bugs would love it in a hot tub.
Ugh, gross. It doesn't help that Matthew Perry, and I feel like other celebrities that I can't name off the top of my head, have been found dead in hot tubs. So Matthew Perry, you know, the guy from Friends who played Chandler Bing, he was fairly recently found dead in his home hot tub. Well, the hot tub itself wasn't, you know, the official cause of death. It does seem like it contributed to an extent. Matthew Perry technically died from the acute effects of the anesthetic ketamine, according to his autopsy. However, the autopsy also said that Perry drowned in his hot tub, although that was a secondary factor in his death, which was deemed an accident. So apparently Perry was undergoing ketamine infusion therapy for depression and anxiety at the time, but the medical examiner said that the levels of ketamine in his body were in the range more than you'd have for therapy. It was as much ketamine as is generally used for general anesthesia during surgery, which he definitely shouldn't. That's not healthy. Yeah. So the amount of ketamine detected, quote, would have been enough to make him lose consciousness and lose his posture and his ability to keep himself above the water, said Dr. Andrew Solbach.
Yet somehow he got in the hot tub.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe he took it when he was in it. I don't know. According to Dr. Andrew Stolbuck, a medical toxicologist with Johns Hopkins Medicine, who reviews the autopsy report, so using sedative drugs in a pool or hot tub, especially when you're alone, is extremely risky and often can turn fatal. Mm-hmm. So I just really associate hot tubs with nothing but like creepiness and just danger. I don't know why. I mean, again, that's one reason, but just like ahead of time, I already did for some reason. So to start off, I do what I do when I ask the internet, why are people in hot tubs? It may sound stupid, but like I really wanted to know like why people are.
My boss has a hot tub and he's so happy with it.
Yeah, people love it so much.
Yeah.
So some people cite their some people cite their therapeutic benefits and say that the heat can help with joint pain or muscle pain. And others say that they offer stress release, which I can totally get. Like, you know, some people take a warm bath to unwind.
Or you go in one of those steam rooms.
Yeah, exactly. Also, according to a, quote, small study that happened in 2016, no idea how many participants, I bet like five, participants soaked in a waist-high hot bath for an hour and burned about the same number of calories as a 30-minute walk. I don't think I believe that, but...
How long were they in the tub? Or how long were they in the water?
An hour. And I find that a meaningless study because most people would say you should never be in a hot tub for an hour.
Yeah.
So I'll get to that later. So, like, I get it a little bit, but I think there are enough problems with hot tubs that I never want to go in one. So a report from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, so the CDC, a report that spanned from 2015 to 2019, found a total of 208 confirmed outbreaks of illness associated with treated recreational water, which involves public swimming pools, hot tubs, or water playgrounds. These outbreaks resulted in...
All of those sound bad.
Yeah. These outbreaks resulted in 3,646 cases of illness, 286 hospitalizations, and 13 deaths. Although most outbreaks occurred in June, July, or August, health experts believe the actual numbers may be significantly higher since many cases of illness, these types of illness, will go unreported. Also, during the study's five-year period, 1 in 3 water-related outbreaks were connected to hotels or resorts, according to the CDC. And among those, the majority, about 70%, were associated with hot tubs. So, that sounds gross to begin with. And apparently hot tubs pose a significant risk specifically to people who are prone to seizures and people with heart disease. So hot tubs, you know, they feel good because they raise your body temperature and make you feel warm. But apparently if you have cardiovascular disease, some say that this rise in temperature could stress out your heart.
Oh.
Quote, as your body heats up, your blood pressure drops, explains Dr. Todorov, an integrative medicine physician in a ClevelandClinic.org article. Your heart responds by beating faster, like what you might experience with exercise. If your provider has told you to avoid strenuous activity, skip the hot tub as well. However, despite that, I still find the grossest thing about hot tubs, or the scariest thing about hot tubs, the germs that it can breed. Also, on my cruise, we saw gigantic Toblerones, but I still have a hard time eating Toblerones ever since, I told you, right, the time I ate so many Toblerones, I got heartburn that then triggered an asthma attack. I once was at work in back-to-back meetings, so many meetings, and there was no lunch in the meeting, and all I had in my pocket were just a whole bunch of individual Toblerones. Yep, and I just kept eating them. And yeah, heartburn can trigger asthma, so I started getting heartburn, and then I couldn't breathe, and I had to go home. Anyway.
Gosh, you're such a diva.
God, I know. So let's talk about hot tubs and germs. So, yeah, hot tubs are treated. They're not just like fucking random water. But properly balanced chlorine kills lots of germs, but it can't kill everything, said Dr. Todorov. So, germs that can lurk in hot tubs include, I'm not going to pronounce these right, but Cryptosporidium. So, this is a parasite that causes cryptosporidiosis, an infection that can cause severe diarrhea, something I wish I could get from. You know what I mean? If you don't know that I'm chronically constipated, that sounded really weird. Anyway, you can get crypto, for short, if you swallow even a tiny amount of contaminated hot tub water.
My gas station has a sign outside that says Bitcoin available inside. Speaking of crypto, I just thought
How?
I don't know.
Giardia. This is a parasite that can spread via contaminated hot tubs and swimming areas. It can cause giardiasis.
Giardians is really swell.
This is called a giardias, whatever, fucking whatever. This can cause an infection, which can lead to vomiting, diarrhea, and stomach cramps. Legionella. This bacteria causes Legionnaire's disease, a potentially serious lung infection. The bacteria can live in a hot tub's steam, which sounds so disgusting.
Ew.
When you breathe the steam, you can get sick, even if you don't even swallow the water. In 2018, health departments reported nearly 10,000 cases of Legionnaire's disease. However, because the illness is typically underdiagnosed, it is believed that the actual number may be up to 2 to 0.7 times higher. And I'm just going to assume it all came from hot tubs.
Yeah.
Norovirus. This is the virus that causes the stomach flu, and it could spread in hot tubs from an infected person's fecal matter. Fun fact, I'm going to interject and say something personal.
Oh, boy.
Me and my husband had to start sharing a bathroom again after having private bathrooms for 2 years. It's the golden years of my life. I had a conversation, and I was just like, well,
listen,
first of all,
I'm going to shit on the floor sometimes.
No. First of all, he claimed one. We have two sinks, at least. And he claimed the one, and he left me the one further. And he's like, I left you that one. I know you want the one furthest from the toilet, because duty particles. And I was like, yes, that is correct. Also, for us to live in harmony, you need to promise me you will always put the seat down before you flush the toilet. And that's all. I just wanted to tell you that that is the rule if you share a bathroom with me. Because if you don't, duty particles will be on my toothbrush. Anyway, so yeah, as I was saying, the norovirus can cause stomach flu, and it can spread in hot tubs from an infected person's fecal matter. And you might be like, what, are you fucking shitting in the hot tub? Well, It only takes a microscopic amount of the virus to get sick if you swallow contaminated water. And according to this fucking gross article, people typically have small amounts of fecal matter on their bodies without ever knowing it. You know why? Probably Americans, because we don't believe in bidets. So, guys, did I ever do a... Did I do a topic on how on bidets or how wiping your butt with toilet paper is not sufficient? Or
did I spare... We definitely did talk about bidets in the past.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, guys.
And you did a whole one on luxury toilet paper.
Yeah, okay. So... But yeah, you probably have fecal matter because if you just dry wipe, that's not enough. Okay?
You may as well just rub it in.
Yeah, you might as well just take a bath in duty. And I know, bidets, not everyone can have a bidet, but like, just wet some toilet paper. Wet wipe it. Wet wipe it, everybody!
But don't flush those wet wipes. Every single one of those plumbers who came by, they were like, does your mother use wet wipes? And I was like, no, she doesn't. And then she was like, do you want me to be true with you, Pete? I have used them before, but I don't flush them. I'm not an idiot.
Well, yeah, you can either wet wipe it and not flush it, or you could just take toilet paper and wet the toilet paper. That's something I was introduced to recently. Once I did put a whole bunch of wet wipes, not a whole bunch at once, but I would flush wet wipes, and I flooded one of my apartments. And thank God my landlord, who was the worst, so I can call him stupid, never even thought to say, like, were you flushing wet wipes? Instead, he went, I don't know. There were a bunch of Pampers in it. We don't even have no babies. Like, how that happened? And I was like, I don't know. That's crazy. I knew he was talking about my wet wipes.
Maybe adult Pampers.
Like, that was the place in Philly, Pete, where it was just me, my landlord, yeah, and a lady who definitely had
below
me. Yeah,
the restaurant.
He was just like, oh, none of us have babies. I was like, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, last but not least, Pseudomonas aeruginosa. This is a bacteria that can be in your hot tub that causes, quote, hot tub folliculitis. Somehow I hate the word folliculitis more than the bacteria's name. And this can leave your skin itchy and red, sometimes with small pus-filled blisters. Yeah. So, all of this is to say, hot tubs can be pretty gross. So, but you might still love your hot tub. That's fine. I don't fault you. I will say that I find it gross because I'm neurotic. Were I less neurotic, maybe I'd love it.
Now that you think about it, or now that I think about it, you do boil noodles to, like, well, no, you boil noodles to make them softer. But, like, you boil things to get them clean. So I think I could see how your run-of-the-mill person would be like, no, it doesn't have germs in it.
Yeah, I get it. I do get it.
And of course, if the water were boiling, you would be getting hurt, so.
Yeah. And I will say, like, I admit I'm getting more neurotic with age. I bet when I was younger, I would be like, the hot tubs are great. But I will say that even if you do like hot tubs, just be careful. A lot of sources say to cap your hot tub time at 15 minutes. I feel like nobody does it that short. I feel like everyone's in it for like an hour. But yeah, 15 minutes or even shorter if you start to feel woozy or dehydrated. If you soak longer than this, you risk overheating or experiencing a dangerous drop in your blood pressure, which is something I never even thought of. And apparently if you're soaking to soothe a muscle injury, which that makes sense, you know, like the heat, some say that hot tubs can actually increase inflammation and make your injury worse. So guys, hot tubs are not a cure-all, and just hot tub carefully. And I will forever find them gross, but I won't try and push my agenda. I'll just give you the information. So, yeah, that's what I got for you. What you got for me?
I think I went in a hot tub once. And it was with Liz's fault.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. I bet. Never mind.
Speaking of gross-ass things.
Okay.
Like hot tubs. That's what I mean.
Okay, because it's... Didn't sound like that.
I'm gonna talk about birds.
Okay.
But I'm going to be more specific this time. So, once we got our bathroom fixed, I was peeing one day. Not that you need to know that, but it's part of the story.
Too late. Make me stop thinking about that.
And I looked out the window, which is at head height.
Yeah.
So no one was watching me pee.
Okay.
And I saw some mourning doves outside, just walking around.
That is M-O-R, not M-O-U-R, right?
M-O-U-R.
It is?
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay, continue.
You like these goth birds.
I do.
They were bee-bopping around, as I would say, but other people would say that they were bobbing around. And I thought to myself,
I would say neither.
Why are these birds bobbing their heads so much?
Okay.
Does this sound foreign, Marissa, to you? The idea of a bird bobbing its head when it walks?
Oh, don't pigeons do that, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah, only pigeons I can imagine.
Pigeons are related to doves, and these are mourning doves, so
okay.
Related.
Okay.
Do you have any ideas why they might do that?
Because that's what I wanted to know. Their necks. I don't know. Because they're stupid.
Maybe. No, that's not it at all.
Okay.
Nick Stockton wrote a little article about this for Wired. And he linked out to a few other things that I looked up and read about. It does seem to do with preservation. You know, you want to be able to see things. Mm-hmm. But mostly it has to do with vision stabilization.
Huh. Okay.
Marissa, have you ever done a pirouette?
I took ballet a lot of times, but clearly not enough to know offhand what that means.
Have you done? No, this one's like you spin.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever spun in a circle, gotten dizzy, and fallen down?
Yeah.
Part of the reason why you're getting dizzy and falling down is because you can't keep track of what you're seeing.
Okay.
And when you do a pirouette correctly, the way that you do it is you keep your eyes fixed on one spot. You turn your body under you, and then once you can't keep your head looking at that spot anymore, you whip your head around and look at that same spot again.
Ooh, Pete is a ballet pro all of a sudden.
I learned this from a student when I first started teaching because you had to do a how-to video, and she did a video about that.
Okay.
I also tried it in an office chair, and it does work if you do not have the body for...
Okay.
Anyway, because you're focusing on the one thing and not whatever's in front of you as you go around, your image is, or your vision is stabilized. So that's how that works.
Yeah. Okay.
And we also take things in as pieces. So if you're looking at something in front of you, and this is kind of related to our, like, to past shows perhaps, but like if you look at what's right in front of you, you're actually perceiving little bits of things that you're seeing, and you're piecing them together in your mind. And you're doing it super fast because your brain is, you know, good at it. But that's why sometimes you can be looking at something, right, and not see something that's right there in front of you.
Yeah.
Because you're putting the pieces together, but you're just sort of missing some of those pieces. Anyway, we can do this and we can walk around, but a bird may not be able to do it because... I don't think it's because they have a less capable brain. Because if us spinning around can throw us off and make us fall down, you know, I can't blame a bird for also having some image stabilization issues.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, pigeons are able to move their eyes, but the thing that they're doing when they bob their head is they're using their longer, flexible necks to push their head forward and then have their little bodies come underneath them and then push their head forward again and repeat.
Pete loves birds.
So in a way, what they're doing is it's almost like you're zooming in and then catching up to yourself, and then you're zooming in again and you're catching up to yourself. So
that's a good way to describe that.
The Now, the whole reason I covered this, up to this point, I was like, oh, this is for me. I want to know what the answer to this question is. This isn't for the podcast. This is for me.
Okay.
But then I read this line. We know this because in the 1970s, a group of researchers put pigeons on a treadmill.
Oh, wow.
And they covered the treadmill with a plexiglass box so that the birds couldn't fly away. And they observed that their heads did not move, like, forward, when their surroundings were stationary as they walked.
Okay.
Sometimes in my life, because I live in a quote-unquote city, birds will walk instead of fly.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they walk through the crosswalk, and that's kind of my favorite thing to
see. Oh, that's adorable. I love that.
Yeah. Instead, like I said before, they move their heads, lock their you know, vision in place, and their body catches up. And what it does is it sort of creates this illusion that their head is bobbing. But if you look at it frame by frame with like a high, you know, shooting, I don't know, camera, then you see that it's not actually, basically you just see that they're not just bobbing their heads for fun.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever thought it was for fun.
Okay. And it's not for fun, Marissa, because it is instinctual. Within 24 hours of hatching, birds like this are bobbing their heads.
Okay.
So it's something that they learn immediately, inherently, through instinct.
Got it. Okay.
So that was going to be the end of my topic.
But
then I stumbled upon an article about birds going missing in the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, God. Oh, I actually went to Bermuda, guys. I just came back from Bermuda.
And how was it? Did you see any fun birds?
Yeah, there are a lot of... They had really beautiful birds on the beach, which had, like...
That's so fun. Say it again.
Really beautiful birds on the beach.
Yeah, thanks.
They had these tiny, like, I don't know, I'm just guessing sparrow-sized birds that were fearless and kept coming really close to my face, which I didn't love.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, oh, and there was a lot of free-roaming chickens.
Cool.
Yeah, but anyway, move on. Good, continue.
Hundreds of racing pigeons have been disappearing over a sleepy pocket of northeast England, earning the region a reputation as the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay, but it's not actually Bermuda.
No, it's Bermuda.
Okay. Cool.
There's not really much to this, except to say that earlier this year, this was 2012, researchers at Baylor College identified one component of a bird's internal GPS when they showed that their brains contain a specialized group of cells that measure the strength and direction of the Earth's magnetic field, serving as a compass.
That's weird. Okay.
Yeah. But during this one particular pigeon race, sorry, Marissa.
What's a pigeon race? What do you mean?
You're racing birds.
Okay.
Some of the racers have implicated a nearby military intelligence operation, blaming rogue signals from the Royal Air Force's Menwith Hill satellite station for jamming their birds' instincts.
So the birds are dying because their brains are getting scrambled from the military?
They're not necessarily dying. They're disappearing.
But what does that mean?
That means they don't come home.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
So if your internal sense of direction was ruined by an external force, then you just don't come home.
Yeah, okay.
The Telegraph reports that the section of northeast England in question has been experiencing abnormally high rainfall, and some of the racers have proposed that missing pigeons may have been led far afield in their efforts to avoid the storms.
How many pigeon racing is that? What words are coming out of their mouth? How much pigeon racing is happening?
You want to know how many pigeons participate in a race or how many pigeon races happen in a year?
Whatever you have.
I don't have either one, but I can tell you this.
Okay.
The particular event that they were covering 217 unaccounted for racing birds.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's way more than I expected. Okay.
And the thing is, like, the thing that they're trying to point out is, when the race is over, it wasn't a storm anymore. So, you know, could they have come back? Could they have figured it out? Mm-hmm. But we don't know. This particular guy also says that he had heard of disappearances at U.S. races before, but nobody has any answers for where the birds went or why they disappeared.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they all ran away together.
Yeah. 217 birds. Let's start our own team.
Yeah.
I'm tired of these humans.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe birds are smarter than we give them credit for. Okay. Yeah. So you have any?
I'm gonna isolate you saying that, and I'm just gonna repeat it over and over and over again.
Yeah. Maybe birds are smarter than we give them credit for. Maybe birds are smarter than we give them credit for. So what do you think is the real reason?
I'm inclined to think of the whole magnetic field thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Throw poor you off birds. A little bit.
I don't really like birds, but poor birds.
Yeah. Plugs. Speaking of things that you like. Do you have anything to plug?
Ooh, by the time this has aired, it will be one day after part two of Bridgerton season three premieres. And that will be consuming my life.
I hate this part stuff.
I don't really know why they did that. I mean, I know why, so the hype could last longer. But I'm so excited. Bridgerton has consumed my life. The first part dropped last month. All I do is think about it. Just waiting for a whole bunch of thinking about Bridgerton. Fun fact, Pete, because I know you're not going to watch Bridgerton. I would never ask you to. But I don't know if you've ever heard anything about it, but they have like stringed instrumental versions of popular songs. So like anachronistic shit. During this really important scene... like the end scene of part one, they had this like beautiful instrumental stringed rendition of what is the song? I can't think of the name of it, but it's a Pitbull song. And I love it, and I just thought it was really funny, and I play it in the house all the time, and Aaron hates it, and what the fuck? Oh, Give Me Everything Tonight or something? I don't know, but it's ridiculous. It's very ridiculous.
That's a bop, man.
Yeah. So I'm promoting Bridgerton. I know a lot of people didn't want to start it until both parts were out. So if you're hearing this and you're waiting, both parts of Bridgerton season are out now. So go listen. How about you, Pete?
There are two things that I really wanted to tell you you could watch, Marissa. Mm-hmm. The first is The First Omen.
I can?
I wanted to tell you you could.
Because Michael Stinson keeps telling me I can. And I wanted to talk to you first, because Michael Stinson doesn't fully understand what I can handle.
Yeah, so there's a scene where a woman is giving birth and a demon's hand comes out of her vagina, and I'm like...
I can watch that.
Okay.
But isn't there a scene where, like, someone gets, like, I don't know. Doesn't somebody get like impaled or a car fucks them up really bad? It sounded gruesome when I was.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but that's not even that bad.
Oh, really? Okay, no, I can.
It's
totally
not like
watch
they like zoom
stuff.
In on the okay. guy's intestines or something. It's just that, yeah, when he gets hit by a car, it splits his body in half.
Ew! See, that sounds horrible. That's why.
But
I was
you don't
ready
see his
it?
Body in two pieces. You just see the one piece that she's holding because she loved him.
Oh, I can probably see when that's coming, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Car accident and anything that sounds like birth is happening, just, okay. I would just, yeah,
beware. I think I can handle a hand coming out of a vagina, but I guess I'll see. But now that you told me, I think I'm ready to watch it. So Michael Stinson, if you're listening, I wasn't dismissing you. I just needed to look into it a little further.
Now, when I say hand coming out of the vagina, do you see the vagina?
Yes.
Okay, then yeah, you should be fine.
I mean, I have a vagina, Pete, so that's not
no,
bad
I understand. But I know that when we both tried to watch that that twin show with Rachel Wise,
oh,
there was way
you know
too much
what?
Birth stuff
you
happening
know
in
what?
That.
You have a better memory than me. Yeah, I didn't like
it. I still think about that show because I'm like, I wish I could have liked it.
Me too. It was just I don't even remember. I just feel like there was so much wet and so much.
Yeah.
So much. And I'm not afraid of vaginas, but it's just like, let's really push the limits of how much you want, like, vagina happening. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So thank you for reminding me. Sometimes Pete knows me better than I know.
That's why I thought that might bother you. But
you know what? No, that's 100% valid. But I wonder if it's just because it's one scene, it'll be fine. I felt like the Rachel Weisz show was relentless.
Yeah, it was.
Just so I feel like I might be able to. But yeah, so thank you. What's the other thing I should see?
The other thing that I wanted to tell you, you could see, the jury's still out on, because I haven't finished it, but I am enjoying the Amazon show Them, season 2.
Oh, I just saw a clip and I thought it looked awesome, and I was looking, I was thinking about looking into it. So, okay, cool.
So far I think you could, but also part of me wants to tell you not to, because one of the characters is so sad.
Aww.
It makes you feel bad.
You guys, you might think, like, is Pete, like, if you see these things and you're like, what? You might think, like, is Pete babying me? No, Pete has known me very long. I'm a fragile. Or I have OCD. And again, I want to stress, a lot of people say, like, oh, I have OCD. Everything's got to be clean. No, I actually have OCD. And there are certain things that I can't see because they will repeat in my mind to a maddening degree. So that is why,
like, the depths of the sea.
The depths of the sea.
Which is all she sees when she closes her eyes now.
No. But decapitations, I can't see it, Rosa. I will be haunted by that. So anyway, so thank you, Pete.
So I'll let you know about that one.
Okay, cool. So guys, thank you for listening. If you have anything you want to share with us, like whose topic was stupor? What the fuck, man?
Shit, she's just trying to take the prize.
And the thing is, I should be better at talking now, because there's not even enough time to get into all the things happening right now. But I live closer to people now, so I have to interact with them on a more consistent basis. It doesn't make it any more pleasant. But I should be better at talking now. If you want to talk about whose topic is worse and more stupid, call us at 570-POD-1-1. You can also email us at
y'allheardpod@gmail.com.
And as always, feel free to slide into my DMs, which thank you, Alex, for sliding into my DMs to give me some information, because I think in a past episode I was talking about my fear because I need to have a colonoscopy. So thank you for giving me some good information. Is there anything else I left out?
Hey, do you live closer to the zoo now?
Yeah, I can actually walk to it.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a sidewalk. I found out just the other day that there are sidewalks all the way from my house to the entrance of the zoo. So.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Also, I will say, I can imagine I did not sell my house to you. I will say, though, most of the stuff is stuff that affected me, and it would be fine to stay at my house. But I assume you wouldn't want to stay at my house. There is a hotel within walking distance, if you ever want to come.
All right.
Anyway. But yeah, guys, thank you for listening. And again, remember, we will see you soon. We won't see you. You'll hear us soon. But a little later than normal, we are starting to do every other week. Don't forget. But if you subscribe to our Patreon, like I said, there will still be Patreon content, so you can hear us a little more often.
Yes, I'm actually writing up now my Pete Ruins a Movie on The Strangers, Chapter 1.
Ooh!
Because don't think anybody should see it.
Yeah, it looked bad, which was unfortunate, because my girl from Riverdale, Madeline Petch, who I love, is in it, and I wish she'd be cast in something better.
In my notes, I guess we could end the show.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.